you are invited to join the Fueled by Faith membership community. Inside this membership, you will have access to a Telegram text thread where you will find other female leaders that are getting filled by the Holy Spirit daily. You will also have access to our monthly virtual Zoom calls that are all about connection as well as getting the word and being connected to the women that are inside the community as well as the Lord and the Holy Spirit inside this membership. There's also a monthly meetup for those of you that are local to Wilmington, North Carolina. But don't let that hold you back. If you are not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, we are looking to grow the Fueled by Faith community within the next couple of years. Let me bring you into the global vision that is starting here with this Fueled by Faith community here in Wilmington, North Carolina. For those of you that are looking for community, that are looking for in-person meetups to meet other faith-based and driven women that are leaders inside your community, we are looking to expand in the next couple of years where you can have access to a Fueled by Faith community right in your backyard with ongoing chapters that continue to add and pop up. This is where we are headed in our vision, and we would love nothing more than to hear back from you if you're not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, if you would be interested in having this in your community, where that's located at, and giving you the blueprint of how we can get that started. If you want to join the membership or you're looking for more information on how to bring Fueled by Faith closer to you, just send us an email at info@sheassistyou.com or find us on Facebook inside our community and send us a message at the Fueled by Faith community page. Welcome to the Fueled by Faith podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vermeer. As a wife, mom, and business owner, I found myself stressed, anxious, bitter, and overwhelmed the majority of the time. Constantly taking care of everyone else, getting to my agenda, you know, the basics, food, water, working out, devotion, and quiet time. If I had the time, which either rarely happened or was just a check off the list, it was when I was searching for a community of women that I could invest in and get support from. God spoke through a friend of mine that this is something that I would create. So here we are, the Fueled by Faith podcast, giving female leaders like yourself a fill up so you can be encouraged, equipped, and empowered daily by plugging into the Lord and allowing Him to overflow in your life so then you can overflow into others, ultimately moving the needle forward for the kingdom of God. So sister, let's dive in.
Hello, Fueled by Faith sisters. I am so excited to be inside your beautiful ears this morning or whenever you're listening to this podcast. I have a beautiful guest on today who I actually happenstance met probably around a year ago, and I cannot wait for you guys to just hear all about who she is, but also her heart behind what she does, and also her Fueled by Faith story as she is in her journey herself in her life. And I'm just so excited to have her on. So we have the pleasure of having Buffy Andrews on, and she is a board certified functional wellness practitioner and a licensed therapist. She owns and operates the Madewell Center for Wholeness here in Wilmington and seeks to help individuals learn how to be their own wellness buff through her personal business, The Wellness Buff. So Buffy, thank you so much for being on and just being a part of this community. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so good. So Buffy and I, just to give you guys some how we met, I love just knowing how people fall into other people's worlds. And it was a small world, or big God, I would say, here in Wilmington. My husband and I, when we moved, we started going to a church. And when we started getting plugged in, Buffy actually came and spoke at our church all about mental health and wellness and how that applies as a family and being a Christian and all the things. And also, I connected with her through a business networking event as well. I heard your name in multiple spots and I was like, I think I need to know this girl. Like, she's at my church, but she's also speaking and she's also like in business. I need to know who this person is.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it just started, how we just started plugging in. But don't let her intro fool you. She is a jack of all trades. She has so many things that she does. She's led me in yoga before, like all kinds of things. So I hate putting people in a box because especially business owners, we do a lot. You do so much.
You're a lot of hats.
Yeah. So you're not like just one thing, you know? And so I love like intros, but it's also like, don't cap me at that because I do a lot of things, you know? Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, let's just get right into this. Buffy, I would love for you to share with our listeners all about a recent Fueled by Faith story or something that you feel God's really calling you to share about being fueled by faith with our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess my Fueled by Faith story starts probably about 3 years ago now. And it was about 3 years ago when me and my husband started trying to get pregnant. And me being the wellness buff that I am, I'm very like, okay, I want to understand my body. I want to regulate my hormone cycles. I know how to do all this stuff. I know when to have sex. I know, you know, like all these different things. I know what supplements to be taking and it just wasn't working. Like, and I was not someone who had any sort of diagnosis of, you know, endometriosis or PCOS. It was just unexplained infertility, if you will, which was super frustrating for me because like, okay, but if you could just tell me something's wrong, that would be wonderful and I could fix it. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do something about that.
Yeah.
Nothing was apparently wrong. And, I would say about 2 years in to trying. I mean, we had done all kinds of things with doctors, like fertility boosting meds, all that kind of stuff. We finally decided we were going to go the route of IUI, which is, I would say, kind of like a step below IVF. So it's not quite the like take the egg and sperm, create the embryo, then reimplant it. It's more like boost your ovulation, take the sperm and put it directly where it needs to go, kind of thing, in hopes that it creates, you know, an embryo and a baby. So that was June of last year, June 2022, I believe. Yeah, that we went and did that. And it's just kind of funny because, you know, we're like, God, whatever you have planned for us, like we're willing and open vessels to like see where this goes kind of thing. But obviously, this costs a lot of money. And like, could you make it happen? And, you know, all these different things. And then it was funny because after we actually did the procedure, my friend Grace actually came over. She messaged me and she's like, I feel like I need to pray over you guys. It's just on my heart. I feel like I need to pray over you. And she comes and she's reading me a story. I forget which one it is exactly. Oh, I should really go back and try to remember that. But I had just read this book called Manifesting Supernatural Childbirth, which sounds really woo-woo, but it was all about women of the Bible and like how, you know, some of these women who did struggle with infertility and then when they finally did get pregnant, kind of what things were aligned, you know, for them to become pregnant, essentially. And so it was just really cool. But she read one of the stories from that book. You know, so it's just this interesting thing. But anyway, she comes over, she starts praying for us, and she's just like, God, we want this to be something only you can do. You know, only you can make this happen. And we want everyone to know it. And I was like, Grace, shut up. Like, we just did IUI. You know, like, it's like, oh, there's some science involved here at this point. You know, so I was just a little bit like, don't pray that because then it's going to take even longer. Okay.
Yeah.
You know? And so needless to say, we did not get pregnant with IUI. But it was just really interesting because we were at this place of, oh gosh, like, wow, what a story. I'm forgetting details, but as I'm saying it, I'm going to share them.
Yeah, go for it.
place of like, we still had all these extra meds. And so we were like, okay, we'll jump right back in. We'll do another round of it. And for myself, again, being very aware of my hormones, aware of things that I need, probably a year and a half prior to that, I had gotten tested like my testosterone levels. Mm-hmm. And my testosterone levels actually ended up being really low. And so I had to get on testosterone to kind of boost that up. And so when we were jumping back into this next IUI round, I was basically like, hey, doc, could you just test me for my testosterone again to see if that's really low and to see if that's a problem? Well, they test me for my testosterone and it was through the roof, like extremely high. And they were like, what is going on? Are you taking supplements? Like, don't lie to us, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not lying. I promise. Like, I'm not taking any testosterone, like boosting supplements right now. But basically my levels were higher than a healthy male. Like a healthy male is around like 350 kind of, probably like 564.
Whoa.
And so they tested me, then they tested me again the next day and the levels cut in half to like 250, which is weird for it to just drop like that.
Yeah.
Well, then they tested me about 4 days later and they were all the way down to like 25. And so it was just this weird thing. Well, so because of that, the doctor was like, hey, you cannot do another round of IUI right now, because if you do, it will mess up the development of the sex of your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, so frustrated, right?
Yeah.
So annoyed by the whole process, because then that meant we had all these meds that were going to go to waste and we couldn't use them. And then we had to wait a whole nother mm-hmm. month. Well, it was basically at that point where I kind of threw my hands in the air and I was just like, you know what? Whatever. If this is how it's going to go, this is how it's going to go. All right. Yeah. Lord, like I can't control anything. Clearly I'm trying so hard to like control and do all the things that I know that I can do to fix whatever.
Yeah.
I'm clearly not supposed to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And so basically that month, oddly enough, you know, I had family come into town who I was like crying to them about the whole process and, you know, just feeling so frustrated. And then I had a friend come into town who I was supposed to go with her to a corporate like work party thing. And I was like, you know, let me just test to see if I'm pregnant, because I was just like, we're going to be drinking at this event. If I'm pregnant, I don't need to be like consuming alcohol, you know?
Right.
So I checked and I was, but it was like very faintly there. I was like, is this real? I'm not sure.
Are you testing me?
You know, but I also was not feeling well. Like I had a fever that day. And so I also checked for COVID that day. Tested positive for both.
Oh gosh.
On the same day. But all that to say, like, it was during that month and that time where I was just hands in the air, like truly surrendered to God, you know, being like, all right, Grace prayed it, you know, like only you, Lord. I'm actually going to lean into that piece now. And so it happened. And I was a little nervous, Nellie, the whole time, because I was just so anxious and so like, is this real? You know, because we had been pregnant before, but we miscarried. And so it was just a whole lot of anxiety. I was going to womb's window like every day trying to get an ultrasound. I was like, is it still there? Is it still there? Because, you know, before you like start showing or have like symptoms and all these things, you just don't, it's like, am I pregnant? I'm just normal right now. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was for me, like just a very big, I don't know. It really did fuel my faith. And it for me was something that God was speaking to me about, like giving credit to him, you know, because especially I think in my field, it can be really easy to be like, I created this protocol and I know the step-by-step plan to make you get better or balance your hormones or whatever. And while those things may be true, and yes, I knew things to do to take care of my body and steward my body well, like it's also still so much of like God's timing and God's alignment. And it really is such a miracle. Like giving birth and like getting pregnant at all, you know, is a miracle.
Yeah.
It's wild. And we just don't realize that. And I even remember doing some of the fertility med stuff with one of the doctors and he kind of put it into perspective for me. Like, cause I think we look at other people's stories and we see them getting pregnant, like first month that they're trying, great, they got pregnant. But the reality is like as humans, we're a species, we have two nipples, right?
Yes.
Or as mothers, yes. Like that's all we have to feed our children, right?
Yes.
Which is, you look at other animals, they might have like 16 because that's how many animals they can like produce and feed them and all that kind of stuff. And he was just like, we only have two. And that means that our percentage of how often we are getting pregnant is a lot less than like a cow might be, whatever, like those kinds of things. And so it was just kind of an interesting, you know, perspective to say, he was saying, you know, basically every 4 months is like when you theoretically may conceive if you were trying, right? And that's if you hit the right timeline of it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So there was just so many, you know, like little things like that, that I just really realized God does have such a hand in it. And I have to give credit where credit's due, because it can be so easy to just take the credit or to say you've like, oh, yep, I did this stuff, you know, and this is what changed it. And, you know, and I have a friend even who was reaching out and she was struggling with getting pregnant and all these things. And she's the type of person, she's kind of like me, but she's just not a like practitioner.
Yeah.
But she, you know, is always like, well, what'd you do different? What was the thing that happened differently this time? Can you attribute it to anything? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hey, I would love to be able to tell you that I could attribute it to something, because I would love to say, yeah, try this, it might help, you know, but I can't at this point.
Right.
And so that's where sometimes we have to like, not, I mean, again, steward your health, steward your body well, steward the things that God has given you, recognize his design of how things are supposed to work and how things are intended to work, but also surrender to that, you know?
Yeah. And probably consistently, right? Like daily being like, God, this is yours. This is your plan. I'm here and I'm ready for it when it is at your pace and at your time.
Right.
And I love how you talked about that so gracefully of you, like you knew everything that you needed to be doing. You knew you were prepared three years ago of, I know that this is how I should do it. And this is what will create the best little incubator for this baby and the, you know, all the things, but still even knowing all the things, it wasn't happening because ultimately he was like, all right, Buffy, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to give it to me and let me show off. Let me do my job, even through the doctors, even through all of that. And then producing this beautiful story for other women to probably come to faith, come to him, and knowing that there's other places to go instead of the doctors to create this beautiful miracle. That's coming, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
I would love to hear more on like maybe some tangible ways that you came or like left it at the altar and gave it to the Lord in your daily walk, even now with that baby cooking inside, right? How you're stewarding that and how, because you spoke of that so beautifully of like stewarding your body. And I feel like a lot of people, and you probably get this a lot in your line of work, don't treat their body as the temple that it is.
Yeah.
Stewarding it. I know I'm guilty of that as well, because we're, you know, we're human and there's so many things going around us. But also, like, I would love to hear your take on that, of how you're stewarding that. And also before you got pregnant, like that night when you saw those two pink lines, what were you like? Were you like, okay, now what? Did you go to the party?
Well, I didn't go to the party because I had COVID also.
Right.
So I was simultaneously freaking out with joy and freaking out with anxiety because I was also like, COVID? Like, don't mess up my baby COVID, you know? That's what I was thinking. Like, what is going on?
Right.
And also I showed my husband the pregnancy test and he was like, I don't trust those things.
That's not real.
None of us, like neither one of us were, we were just in shock. We were like, okay, what is this real? I don't know.
Yeah.
We really didn't believe it, honestly. And it wasn't until we went and actually saw like the baby on the ultrasound and being like, oh my gosh, there is a little peanut in there.
Yeah.
But as far as like the tangible things, you know, I would say it's interesting because you have to not only steward your body, but you have to steward your mind. Right. And there was one, so I actually spoke at a conference last November, I guess. Yeah. November, called the Look Up Conference. And at that conference, I shared about this authenticity of having your head and your heart kind of in line. Right. And when you say things on the surface, like, yeah, I trust God, I surrender to God, blah, blah, blah. But if at your core, you're not really believing that, there's a disconnect there. And there is, your head and your heart are constantly in conflict. And it's like your body and your brain are trying to figure out, well, but which one's true, right? Is my head true or is my heart true here, right? And when it's doing that, it's basically creating this friction and this rub, you know, in your head and your heart. And when you're not authentically aligned, things don't happen for you, you know? And so I spoke at that conference about a night where I was fed up with the Lord. I had to get authentic and real with him at that point, because I was literally sitting in the bathtub one night. I was reading my Manifesting Supernatural Childbirth book in the bathtub, and I'm just bawling. Like, I'm wailing. And yelling and like mad at God, right? Yeah. And I think it took that first, because like I hadn't even really connected with myself about what kind of feelings I was really having. I mean, I was like clearly frustrated, clearly like tired of the whole process and those kinds of things, but I still hadn't embodied and connected to what was really going on in my heart and my mind, right? So I think there's like a piece of that that's like tangibly stewarding your heart and your mind, right? And then I think there's another piece of tangibly stewarding your body. So like learning things that your body actually needs, you know, like women aren't taught anything about our bodies. Yeah. Like we're just not. Good gosh. Like the world that we live in, it just expects us to get on birth control and call it a day. And like, it does nothing to help us understand how to balance our menstrual cycles. Does nothing to help us understand any of that stuff. So I actually started reading too, a book called Functional Maternity. And it basically went through that book, like all kinds of vitamins, what you need in your body. And just when you learn like how deficient we all are anyways, like most of us probably need to be on a magnesium of some sort. Most of us need zinc. Most of us need vitamin D. Most of us need a B complex. Like these are things that we're not getting in our food sources. And so like for me, it was really just kind of starting the disciplines, I would say, of like showing up and taking my vitamins and my supplements and showing up and going on walks and, you know, being just really intentional and disciplined with those things. Because I think too, like, this is just real practical, but like entering into a journey of motherhood, you have to be disciplined. People just want to act like you can just like spit out a baby and then be all like, ah, hey, cute baby, blah, you know, but it's,
and then so, you know it, right?
It's so much more. And then you're distraught. And like, no wonder postpartum anxiety and depression exists, because we're not prepared. Right. Like no one prepares us for that season, you know? And so then the season happens and you're very like caught off guard and you're like, what, wait a minute. Like, this is not what I expected at all. Right. And so that's kind of, again, like that authenticity alignment piece of what are the expectations here? Truly, like, how do I build awareness around what I think I'm expecting versus what is like maybe a real expectation to you know, accept and understand. So yeah, it was really just kind of like developing these like little disciplines, I would say, of like trying to hydrate. I mean, heck, drinking mineralized and electrolyte water. We don't know that we're supposed to drink that, but we are.
Right.
We're supposed to drink a lot of it every day.
Yeah.
Half of your body weight in ounces of water every single day. And that's just something that when you get busy, when life gets hectic, we forget. We forget about that piece of it. And then if we are good at drinking water, like I know for me, when I first started like, okay, I'm going to drink a lot of water. I was drinking water. And then at the end of my day, I would have a really bad headache. And I was like mad about that. I was like, okay, I'm drinking all this water. Shouldn't I not have a headache at this point? But then I learned like I need electrolytes in my water. I need minerals in my water, because when you're flushing water through your body, you're flushing out those minerals and those electrolytes that you need. Yeah. So that's like a simple thing, but that was something for me that I think really helped my body function better, like helped boost everything. Like things like cervical mucus, like what? Like you don't know that you need that, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Function. Because it's also taboo and we just don't talk about it. And we think we're like not supposed to have certain things. I don't know. It's just a whole mess of stuff. Right.
Well, I feel like when you hear things like that, because it's not the normal, it's like, don't say that. You know what I mean? Like we don't talk about that, but that's what's missing.
Right.
That's what's being suppressed. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day that we can have. But I love your radical honesty about being radically honest with ourselves first, that then goes out to the world. And yeah, you don't know what you're doing. No one teaches you how to do what you're doing. And even the people that are teaching, I remember going to our first class at a hospital, and it just so happened to be the week before we had our son 6 weeks early. So thank goodness we knew where to go for the hospital. Like they introduced us, they said, this is where to go, not knowing we would be there a week after for early labor. And so anyway, I remember going in that class, and all they talked about was how to breastfeed. And then also basically telling you that you would be terrible if you did anything other than breastfeed. And that was it. That was it. They didn't tell you how to hold, swaddle, go home, all the things. And I remember we spent 10 days in the NICU. Thank goodness for those NICU nurses. They taught us how to do everything. Had I not had that experience when we had our daughter, unexpectedly, when we had her, I was sent home not even 24 hours after I had that baby. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I hadn't known with the first one, where would I be? Like, I remember a nurse coming in after I had our daughter, and I was already showered, fed the baby, changed her, all the things. And she came in and she was like, oh, it's time to get you in the shower. I was like, oh no, I'm ready to go. Like I have we're ready. Everything's packed. And she was like, oh my gosh, you've done this before. I was like, yeah, but no one.
You.
Yeah, exactly. No one equips you for that.
Right.
No one equips you for that. But also allowing yourself to be radically honest and radically, like, I'm glad that you mentioned being angry with God.
Yeah.
People don't talk about that.
Yeah.
God already knows.
Right, right. But you're like not allowing the space in your heart or your mind to know that he knows. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't allow yourself that room to connect with that, truly. Exactly. But you have to connect with it.
Yes.
It's literally, I mean, it's kind of like the whole birthing miracle process in and of itself, right? Of like sperm and egg have to meet up for this to happen. And sparks literally fly. And that has to be, you know, what happens with your heart and your mind is you have to connect it. If you don't, you'll miss the boat every single time.
Absolutely. And I love how I'm just keep seeing, like, when I think of alignment, I think of things like partnering up, like getting back in line with each other. And when you're talking about your head and your heart, being radically honest with yourself and God, even though he already knows, that opens that line of communication. Then it also, I personally feel, and you can speak to this, that it allows you to then, when you're in alignment, it allows you to like be in alignment, walk in alignment, open to other things, receive things, be honest with yourself, right? When you're operating in two, I mean, we all know this, multitasking is
such a fallacy.
Yes, exactly. Like, you can do it. Is it always good? Probably not. And if you're multitasking in your brain and your heart, how is anything happening?
Right.
Right? Or happening well.
Right.
So I love that you brought that into context here.
Yeah.
And also, like, just being honest about that, because I don't feel like enough women are being honest with themselves of like, hey, I'm not okay.
Right.
I talk to this, so even with people that you work with, I had one lady come up and she was like, I have to apologize because you asked me how I was doing earlier. And actually, I'm not good. I'm not okay. When I told you that I was good. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the first person that's ever said that to me. Because I do that all the time. And like, it's okay to not be okay and to say that you're not okay. That actually opens the doors for people to pray for you, to help you, I feel like we forget that other people we're all here to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't open up, we're also doing them a disservice for them stepping into their calling.
Right.
To help others, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I went off on a little tangent there, but you know, the Lord guides. So, I would love for you, like, we can wrap this up. I would love to chat with you all about like identity. I know you, work with this with your clients, and especially as you're transitioning into I don't want to call it your identity, but a new piece of you that can affect your identity.
Right.
How do you let's just open up that conversation. I'd love for you to just talk about
it. Wow. So I mean, there's like so many different directions
you just take with whatever the Lord gives you.
Yeah, I guess I would say, it kind of starts with recognizing that you're the Lord's.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's like that big piece of it. It's like the umbrella, you know?
Yeah.
And I think like also recognizing not just that you're the Lord's, but again, like what was his design in it all? Because like when you go back to the garden and like, you know, that whole paradise place, right? Like the design was simple. The design wasn't overcomplicated. The design, just like man and woman in the garden, dominion over the animals and the plants, eating, living, being, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And now we have so many people who are too busy trying to people please and fit molds of things that were not designed by God, you know, and fit molds of things that are designed by man in order to try to find some sort of satisfaction or some sort of, you know, quote unquote peace or whatever, you know, that they're looking for. And I just feel like when you know your identity, when you understand, it's kind of like just the same idea of just like what we were talking about earlier with like knowing your hormones, knowing how to eat, knowing, you know, phases of your cycle and how it works. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is power when applied, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so your identity is the same kind of thing. It's like when you know the design of something, when you understand the power behind the design, and then you apply that in walking out your identity, that allows you to have so much more power and like confidence in who you are and, you know, what you got going on in the world, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like there's too many people who it's almost like they're trying to figure out who they are without knowing what could be almost.
Yeah.
And you know, like I work with like teenagers and like people all the time, like, I'm just trying to figure me out. And it's like, well, how are you doing that? You know, what are the things you're doing to figure yourself out? Because if you're not sitting with yourself, if you're only ever looking to the design that the world gave you, you're not going to figure you out.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. I want to like dig a little deeper here too, because I'm surrounded by moms. I'm surrounded by business owners. I'm surrounded by females that do so much.
Yeah.
And tie our identity to our occupation or to our role or to our title.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to, and I know this could like go real deep, but I would love for you to just talk about that of how someone could sit with themselves and really be like, who am I?
Right.
Outside of motherhood, outside of this, I would love for you to just dissect that a little bit.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is allowing yourself permission. How do I want to say it? Like allowing yourself permission to embody the way you function and honor the way you function and recognize that it might be outside of the box of what someone else does or how they function. Like for instance, for me, right? I'm a business owner, soon to be mother, wife, friend, whatever labels you want to put on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, over the years, have had to learn how to sit with myself and be okay with the fact that I function different than other people, right? Like
yep.
I'm a little ADD. And so I am the type of person that has 1,000 tabs open on my computer, but they're my to-do list. That's how I work.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to compare myself to someone else in business and look at their organizational system on their desktop, you know, or whatever, and be like, oh man, like theirs is so neat and tidy and da 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 da, I would not get anything done because I would be too focused on how I'm supposed to look compared to this other person, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So I think a big part of sitting with yourself is to one, like stop comparing.
Yeah.
And if you find yourself in circles where you're comparing, get out of those circles, right?
Yeah.
And if that means it's a circle on social media, get out of those circles, unfollow people you need to unfollow, you know, mute those people. Yeah. Like get rid of the apps altogether, get them off your home screen, whatever you got to do. If it's friend circles, you know, like I have some friend groups where, well, this is kind of like another, I guess, tangent maybe, but like, you know, I have some friend groups where, you know, like I have other business-minded friends and we support each other and it's great. And we like really lift each other up in what we're pursuing and what we're doing. And that's wonderful. But then I have some friend circles who it's almost like they only want to identify as one type of role that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's mother or maybe that's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to be in those kind of circles with people because I recognize that like, man, there's so much more to all of us. Like, why are we only ever talking about this one thing here?
Yeah.
So I guess like part of it, yeah, again, is just kind of like reducing comparison and removing yourself from those circles where you don't maybe feel supported in all the roles that you have. And then I think another piece is allowing yourself permission to slow down enough, again, to recognize how you function. Because, again, you could function so differently than so many other people. But start noticing, right? Just, like, give yourself little experiments throughout the week where
yeah.
you try your to-do list this way or you try, you know, to talk to your friends and hang out with them in this way or whatever, right? And then take an inventory at the end of the week. Take a yeah. solid, like sit down with yourself for 30 minutes and just say, okay, like these events that I engaged in, did they bring me life? Did they not bring me life?
Yeah.
You know, this way that I organized this week, was it productive? Was it not productive? Was I distracted the whole time? You know, ask yourself some of those kind of deeper questions and sit with those answers and then be willing to apply change
yes.
where you need to, right?
Yes.
Because I think in trying to figure yourself out, again, if you're always just doing what everyone else is doing, or if you're always just comparing yourself to how everyone else operates, or you're going by some sort of rule or standard that was created by society that you're like, where'd that even come from?
Yes.
I don't get that, right?
Yes.
Just 100%. Listen to those things, you know, listen to that within yourself and ask questions. Like we have too many people who are too afraid to ask curious questions about themselves
yeah.
and too afraid to see the answers that might come up for them, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people, maybe this is just how I was born. I don't know, but I am one of those people that like, if you tell me a rule or a law and I think it's stupid, I'm not going to follow that rule or law. I'm sorry, but if it does not make sense, like if it doesn't make sense with how I think God has aligned the world,
yeah.
doesn't make sense with like just function and flow, I'm like, that rule does not apply to me.
Yes. I love it so much. I call myself a rebellious rule follower.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I can see it enough to where it needs to happen, but I'm like, but does it really?
Yeah. Or you just see it enough to be like, who created that rule? Like, where did that
come from?
That perspective, you know?
Yes.
So, anyways, yeah, it takes like, you have to be willing to, I think more often than not, stop and recognize the questions you need to ask yourself, stop and recognize where are these things coming from for you. Stop and recognize, have I been honoring what works and what doesn't work for me, you know, this week? Have I not, you know? And if you can't stop and recognize those things, you're never going to figure out who you are, right? Yeah. And so sometimes, again, that just comes back to eliminating things. Like sometimes you have to eliminate things in your life that are creating these barriers to identification. But also you have to be willing to add things in. We have too many people that I think they might think, oh, I need to figure out who I am. I need to explore all these things. But then what they do is they just sit by themselves and just keep ruminating on, I've got to figure myself out, rather than getting out there and doing anything with it.
Right? Yeah.
So like we need people who are trying to figure themselves out to engage in life. The only way you're going to gain clarity about you is through engagement of the process, right? Yeah. Like, so if you feel like there's an artsy side to you that you haven't, you know, figured out yet, sign up for an art class, sign up for a pottery class, sign up for whatever, try knitting while you watch TV, like whatever works for you, you know, but try it.
Yeah.
And it's 100% okay if they don't work out. Yeah. I think that's a piece of it too, is that people are so afraid to start a new hobby or explore this territory because they think it's just not going to work or whatever. And then they're going to feel like they've wasted time, quote, right? It's not a waste of time. No. Like you have got to explore those things in order to know that it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
You can't just assume that it doesn't work for you.
Correct.
Right. And so if you don't explore, you're going to still stay stuck feeling for however long. And then you're 10 years later going to wake up and still be like, I don't know who I am. And then you tell me what's a bigger waste of time. Right?
Like, exactly.
Is it a bigger waste of time to just do the pottery class and realize you don't like it, or to go 10 years ruminating on the same thought and never figure it out?
Yeah. And who knows? You might meet someone in that pottery class that introduces you to something else that you want to do. And I remember being interviewed by a coach one time. I was trying to figure out if I wanted to hire someone. And she was like, what do you do for fun? And I was like, fun. Haven't had that in a while. And she was like, oh my gosh, what an awesome project. She was like, you get to go learn what brings you joy.
Right.
What is fun. So you get to go try all these things. How awesome is that? Like, flip the script. Instead of being like, oh dang, I tried pottery and that was no fun, so now I'm going to stop. Right.
Right. Right.
If you know you're creative, or if you know you're in a logical mind, you have like a blank canvas to work off of, but you also have, and then tell people, like, I'm trying to come up with a new hobby. What do you like to do? What do you do? And also, I think we forget that we were once children and we once loved to do things that can translate into something that we can do now. My son, the other day, we were like, what extracurriculars do you want to do? He's 6. And he was like, well, I think I want to try baseball for a sport. And we're like, okay, great. And he said, and can somebody please teach me how to be a ninja? And I was like, oh my gosh, I love it so much. Funny enough, there's a gymnastics place that has ninja classes. And I'm like, signing them up, you know, and go back. Like, what did you do for fun as a kid? Even if it doesn't apply now, you can still go play laser tag. Like, you can still go do these things. Don't limit yourself, right?
Yeah.
Get us out of the box.
And this is another random thought, but I'm just thinking, like, your son has, like, a really great support system in you guys, you know, as parents, because you're willing to say, oh, you want to be a ninja? Cool, I'll sign you up to be a ninja, right?
Yes.
There are so many people out there who don't have those good support systems when they're younger. And so maybe they wanted to try something and it was thwarted, you know, or maybe they, you know, did and their parents just kept belittling them. Like, well, you're still not as good as that kid over there, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is kind of trauma, you know, for kids. And so it's worth, I think, even kind of identifying in yourself now as an adult. Did I actually have safety to explore those things when I was younger?
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
If I didn't, maybe that's why I feel afraid to explore them now. And if you need to process that with somebody, like, get yourself a therapist.
Yeah. Nothing can hook you up. Well, awesome. Well, this is so fun. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy that you're able to be on. I would love for you to just tell people where they can find you, more of like who you help and who you serve, so that they can get plugged into you outside of this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, again, I own the Madewell Center for Wholeness, and we have about 8 clinicians here that do mental health counseling. We also have a gut health nutrition practitioner, as well as a health coach. So if you're somebody who needs, you know, specific gut healing, go to our gut health person. If you just need accountability with your health and you need somebody to help you maybe create some routines, figure out the barriers, things like that going on with your health, our health coach is wonderful. And then all of our clinicians specialize in things like depression, couples counseling, trauma, anxiety disorders, relational conflicts, parent-child things, all that good stuff.
Amazing. Well, Buffy, thank you so much for your time today and pouring into our listeners. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fueled by Faith podcast. We would love it if you could go and leave us a 5-star review and how this podcast is impacting you. This will help us move the needle forward to get this podcast out to more and more communities, more and more women that need to be fueled by faith.